Right, well, as I was thinking about this, God gave me a phrase that said, who do you say I am? So I'm going to start off by telling you a little story. As you probably know, me and Daryl are not the most DIY people. And just before Daryl went away to India, the felt fell off our roof, or flew off our roof. Our shed roof, yeah. Yeah, we don't have felt in our house. Yeah, fell off our shed roof. And so Daryl rang my dad, because that's who you ring when there's a problem. And so Dad was like, yeah, that's fine, yes, fine, we'll sort it out. Anyway, Daryl went to India, Dad forgot, and which, you know, yeah. And well, anyway, it started to rain, and I looked, and I was like, oh, no, you know, the shed roof has still not got any felt on it, so we're going to have a bit of a leak. So anyway, so I rang Dad, and Dad sort of says, oh, you know, yeah, don't worry, oh, yeah, I remembered now, so told me what to get, so I went to the shop, got the stuff, and then Dad, being wonderful Dad, came round and fixed my shed. So, well, and to be honest, I knew wholeheartedly and totally and utterly that he would be able to fix my shed. No offence, darling, but not quite so much confidence in you, but it's all right, he knows it. But, you know, in that kind of situation, that job, I knew Dad would be able to fix my shed. And I want to sort of bring that around to the confidence that we can have in God. And so when I think about that, I think that the confidence I have in Dad is because I know that his ability to fix my shed is there. I know it is. I know he can do it. And so it's there. So I'm sort of thinking around this and thinking, who is God? And this is when this phrase comes in, and who do you say I am? And so it's very difficult to have confidence in someone when you don't know what their abilities are. For instance, I'm an accountant by trade, and some people know that, and in past, and most people know that, but in recent times, I've not really done that job anymore, so not so many people know that. And the people that do know that, they will ask me questions about accountancy. They'll say, well, what do you think about this, or can you help me with this? And I'll be like, yeah, that's fine. A friend of mine didn't know I was an accountant, struggled with her accounts for a long time, you know, struggled with it, didn't know what to do, rang the tax office, all this kind of stuff. And in a conversation we had, I happened to drop in the fact, oh, yeah, because I was an accountant. She was like, no way. If I'd have known you were an accountant, I could have asked you to help me. And she did, and we helped, and it was all sorted out. So the question is, who do you say I am to God? So I'm just going to read, which I probably should have. Matthew 16, verses 13 to 16. And it's Peter, and it's this. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do the people say that the Son of Man is? Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. Then he asked, but who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And the point being is that God wanted to know who Peter thought he was, who Peter thought he was. And he wants us to think and know who God is and have the confidence in that. So I was thinking about that, and was reminded of a song that Godfrey Birtle sang. You probably know it. And so I'm going to just read some of the things in that song that God is. So this is my list, and I'm sure there's a lot more as well. Wonderful counselor, teacher, reminder, revealer, healer, strengthener, repairer, refiner, shepherd, gatherer, refresher, rewarder, protector, inspirer, provider, forerunner, finisher, conqueror, deliverer, restorer, hammer, fire, uniter, redeemer, creator, defender, maker, instructor, commander, warrior, shelter, helper, and leader. When you look at all those things, you think, wow, that's my God. That's the God that I know and have with me. And And it's just amazing, isn't it? All those things. And it covers a vast variety of circumstances and situations. And so I then sort of began to think about some of them that has impacted me. First of all, my Saviour. He died for me and he gave everything for me to set me free and to have a relationship with him. That's amazing, you know, just that is just amazing. He's my peace. That wasn't actually in the list, but he's my peace. And when I was younger, probably about 13, I remember waking up with a horrific nightmare and sense of fear. And I, at the time, you know, I was going to church. I was brought up in a Christian family, for those who don't know. And I just prayed and I opened my Bible. I literally opened it, and the verse was there, Isaiah 41, verse 13. For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. And at that instant, a total peace came over me, and my heart was totally calm. And I just remember this amazing warm feeling around my heart. And I will never forget that, and just the peace that came over me. Another one is rescuer. I don't know whether you all know my testimony, but I was brought up in a Christian family. I went to church but sort of my mid-teens, I sort of went away really from God and didn't really. I still went to church and went and saw my friends and, you know, but I sort of, you know, didn't really lead the life that I had. So at the age of about 16, I met a bloke and someone from the church saw me and shocked me to my mum and dad, which was really quite annoying. But anyway, I won't tell you who it was. they're still in the church, but I've forgiven them. But anyway, they pulled me into the drawing room, which I went quite a lot at the time, to be honest. Yes, it was the drawing room at that time. So I did end up quite a lot in the drawing room, to be honest. So then they said to me, look, we've heard about this young man. You either invite him to church or you break up with him. So I was like, oh, man, you know. Anyway, so round I drove to my boyfriend. It was Daryl, by the way. So he got in the car and he got in and said, well, he's as soon as you go to church every week, I think I better come. Well, you can imagine I fell off my seat. He instigated it, and cut a long story short, he came to church and became a Christian. And so basically God rescued me, because at that point in my life, I was definitely at a crossroads where I was going that way. But God brought Daryl into my life, and we both went that way. And I'm sure Mum and Dad will definitely call God my rescuer, because he did. He had that plan in my life. Another one is a provider. I'm a worrier with money. I have spreadsheets galore, and they sometimes tally up and they sometimes don't. I panic about it, and it's something that I still struggle with this, and I still have to bring God into this situation, and I still have to declare that he is my provider, because he always has. He's always provided. He's always met the bills. Everything has always worked out in the end. But that is definitely something that is not always easy to actually declare the truth of what God is. But then when you look back, you think, yeah, he is, because he's always there and he's always done it. My helper fixed my boiler for me. And as we all heard the other week, you know, the shed, the children, he's there in the normal everyday situations, and he is my helper. And the last one that really impacted me, I think, was my creator. As a person, I've always struggled with being me. I've always tried to fit in, change myself. At school, I've always tried to sort of be the person that's fitted in over there, when actually I should have been over there. As I got older, it never really changed. Even up until sort of quite recently, I still compare myself, as we all probably do, still I compare myself to other people. Oh, I should be more like that. I should be more like that. If I was this, then this would be better. But God is my creator. He created me to be me. And he gave me my personality for a reason. and you too. And Mum, very wise lady, told me once, if you don't bring your colour to the rainbow, it won't be there. And I thought, actually, that was very true. If I don't bring who I am, who God made me to be, I won't be there. I won't touch the people that God intended me to touch. So, yeah, that's a big one for me. And again, it's a struggle still. I still have to wake up sometimes and go, no, God did create me. He is my creator. He created me to be me. So, yeah, those are the ones that sort of impact me. So, but this question, again, but who do you say I am? So I'm going to read Paul and Silas now. So it's Acts 16, verses 22 to 36. Mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. They were severely beaten, and they were thrown into prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape, so the jailer put them into the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in the stocks. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. The jail woke up to see the prison doors open wide and assumed the prisoners had escaped. He drew his sword to kill himself, but Paul shouted to him, "Stop! Don't kill yourself. We are all here." The jailers called for lights and ran to the dungeon and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, along with everyone in your household." And they shared the word of the Lord with him and all who lived in his household. Even at that hour of the night, the jailer cared for them and washed their wounds, and he and everyone in his household were immediately baptized. He brought them into his house, set a meal before them, and he and his entire household rejoiced because they all believed in God. The next morning, the city officials sent the police to tell the jailer, "Let these men go." So the jailer told Paul, "The city officials have said to you and Silas, you are free to leave. Go in peace." We've heard lots of preachers on this passage, but I just wanted to highlight a point really that in every circumstance we have a choice. Are we going to bring the God who is all those things into our situation or not? Humanly speaking, Paul and Silas had absolutely nothing to be happy about and really nothing to praise God about. They'd been beaten, thrown into the most horrible part of the prison, and it was pretty dire. If that was me, I would not have been quite so understanding, and I'd have been pretty cheesed off and quite grumpy with God, if I'm honest. But going into that prison, they didn't adopt the negative, depressing atmosphere that would have been in there. It would have been horrible, I can imagine. And the fact that they were beaten and just, oh, it must have been awful. They could have gone in there and just adapted that atmosphere that was in there. But they chose not to. And despite everything, they knew that God was good and he was their savior and he was their rescuer. And so they brought him in to that situation. And by doing that, they changed it. They, you know, God turned up and an amazing miracle happened. And I just think, what if they hadn't have done that? It would have been a completely different situation. And they didn't just change their circumstances, they changed the circumstances of all the prisoners, and they changed the circumstances of the jailer and all his family, because they came to know God, the prisoners were free, and they were set free. So you sort of think, wow, what an impact our God had on that situation. It's amazing. And they brought him into that situation because they knew who he was and how he could change the circumstances that they were in. So that question again, who do you say I am? Do we know who is in our corner? Do we know who's fighting for us? Do we know who we have with us? Do we realize the resources that we have with us? You know, what Jesus had, we have. Do we bring the God of miracles into our situations? Or do we try and battle on alone? quite a good one for doing that, battling on alone. And a very simple illustration the other day, I was doing the Christmas flyer. Lovely, it was lovely. And I had this beautiful ray of moonlight, or whatever it was, going up the page, printed it out, and it looked awful. And so I struggled on, Bridget can imagine, there was lots of going on. I struggled on, and eventually I sort of gave up. and so I rang Helen, my sister. She designs websites and is very good at posters and all that kind of stuff. So I rang her. She came, did a little and boom, there it was. So, but the silly thing is, if I'd have rung her at the beginning of the morning, it'd have been fine. Because she'd have done it, and it would have been fine. But no, I battled on most of the day, didn't I, Ridge? and it wasn't until about 3:30 in the afternoon that Helen came. And yeah. So we can battle on. And even if it's just that God brings us peace in the situation that we go through, we need to ask him to come and to be there. Yeah. And I think even humanly speaking, having full confidence in someone makes all the difference. We're much more willing to get them to come into the situation, aren't we? When we were young, when I was young, we used to go on walks with mum and dad, and we quite liked it, sort of. But some, we used to go off, and off we went, and but we had full confidence in Dad of where we were going. He had the map, and, you know, where we were going was fine because we were following Dad, and we had full confidence in that. And sometimes we went off in very strange directions with Dad, but we just carried on, and we followed him because he knew the way. I think he did. I'm not convinced now that he actually did know the way. He winged it anyway. But, you know. But and sometimes God can take us on journeys that we don't quite understand why we're going on journeys like this. And but it's possibly not the path we would have taken either. It's not the obvious path. A while ago, well, quite a long while ago, me and Daryl and Mum and Dad and Simon and Deb went on a bike ride to Blickling Hall. We got to a junction. We'd been on a long bike ride at that point. Got to a junction. There was a signpost. That way said Blickling Hall. And that way said some other way. So my dad, he's at the front with a map, he goes off and turns the other way. And not to Blickling Hall, where we'd parked. And Daryl just looked as if to go, why aren't we going to Blickling Hall? Because we've been biking for hours. And again, it was that thing that actually, sometimes God does take us off in different directions, but we have to have full confidence in God that he knows the outcome and he knows and he's going to get us to our destination. I have sort of had a little thought about the Gruffalo. I don't know if you know the Gruffalo, but it's sort of this beast. It was a story. And he goes and he talks to all these different things and he says, well, you don't want to eat me because I'm going to see the Gruffalo. And on the way back, he walks back. He found the Gruffalo. He walks back with such confidence with all these different things, the snake and the owl and the fox, because he's got the Gruffalo behind him. And he just walks, striding out, and he's like, the fox is like, and the fox is scared because the Gruffalo is behind him. And it was just a picture I had that actually God wants us to know that who we have with us, and actually we can walk with confidence because he's with us. There's a quote I found, and it said, nothing ahead of you is bigger or stronger than the power of God that is behind you. But do we know what's behind us and with us? That's the challenge, isn't it? Do we actually know? So we can walk in the confidence that God has intends us to. So how do we know? Well, the obvious one is to get into God's presence and ask him to reveal his power and who he is. And he will. And the more we are in his presence, the more we get to know someone, don't we? The more I'm in that person's presence, the more I get to know them. And it's the same with God. The more I spend time with God, the more I get to know of who he is and his power and his amazingness. If that's a word. It's a new word. But sometimes when the valleys come and the things are hard, it's hard to do that. And it's hard to do that. And that's when it comes to standing on the truth of what the Bible says. And actually, I'm going to choose to believe who my God is, even though sometimes I don't feel it. And a while ago, we were in a situation, I won't go into details, but we were in a situation where basically I felt that my whole life was falling apart. And I struggled on, as I do, head down, let's go, you know. And as I struggled on, just bits fell off and bits fell apart. And I just carried on and I carried on, and until the whole situation was just overwhelming. And I got to the point where I had to come to the realization, I either believe that my God is my God and he is a good God and he has my best interests at heart, no matter what the outcome of this situation was, he is my God and he is good. Or I just let it swallow me up. It took me a long while to come to that realization, and it took me to the point of breaking, really, that actually made me realize that my God is my God, and I have to stand on what the Bible says of who he is. And sometimes we do have to get to that point to realize, yeah, who he is. But it was a choice. I didn't feel it, because everything was falling apart around me. I didn't feel it. But at that point, I had to make a conscious choice. I am going to believe. And it came through. He came through the final hour. But he came through. And, you know, it's sometimes easy, isn't it, just to try and plow on and forget who we have with us. It's what little quote I found, and I thought it was quite interesting, and sometimes it's very easy to do the first bits and not the second bits, but I'll just read it. When you choose to dwell on your problems, your situation, your sickness, or your doubts and your fears, you are forgetting that God's power is infinite. His power is beyond understanding and beyond what we can imagine. All his power has been given to his son Jesus, and therefore to us. Each day, you choose what you will believe. So watch by what you think and what you say. You either believe the promises of God, or you limit him to your unbelief. Fill your mind with all that Jesus can do. His power is infinite. Just makes me think it's a choice sometimes, and that's when it can be a challenge, that it's a choice. So the challenge is, do we know who the God that we serve, and will we bring him into the situations of our lives? Because when I look at who he is, although sometimes I don't do it, I think, why wouldn't I, you know? He's my saviour, he's my rescuer, he's my provider, he's my healer, he's my comforter, he's my cleanser, my helper, my leader, my friend, my father, my refiner, and my creator. And he is so much more as well. So for me, I need to keep reminding myself of who he is, and in the tough times, stand on the truth of what he is, and keep connecting with him and getting to know him more and more and more. I'm just going to play a song. It's a song that I've just been listening to over the last couple of weeks, and it just says, the cross has the final word. And in any situation, whether the outcome is what we want or whether it's not, the cross has the final word. And just, it really impacted me. So I was just going to play it to finish.